You go through seasons in your life. Sometimes you're just so on fire for God and you're so hungry and you want to read the word, and there's sometimes you just think, oh, I've got to read, you know, and you kind of get slow and lazy. But the more word I've noticed, the more word I put into me, the more hungry I get. It's just like I said, eating that chocolate. Once you taste that, you just want more. And that's how it's been with the Word of God. The more Word I get in, and I've been trying to put it at home, I'll listen to it overnight. I'll lay there with my earphones in and listen to the Scriptures and just listen, listen, listen. You think you're not receiving, but your spirit, the spirit is alive and never sleeps. So you may not think you're getting anything, but your spirit's picking up on things. You know, when my kids were little, I wouldn't let them watch stuff on TV that I knew was getting in their spirit. They didn't realize, because my son one time had a real high fever. We lived out in the country, and he started, oh, it's time to go get a kid. I'm sorry. I didn't turn that off. He had a real high fever, and he started hallucinating, and I had never seen somebody do that. He was like four or five years old, and he watched Sesame Street that day, and he's seen the counted spiders on Sesame Street way back. He's seen spiders on the wall, and then he had watched John Boy Walton kill a bear, and he's seen a bear on the wall, and he was going, you know, he was fearful, and he could actually see these animals, and I'm like, that really opened my eyes to see the things that go in you. They're in there. It's just like a computer. You get stuff in you, and it's hard to forget it, you know, and you might not even know it's there, but it's in you. So you got to protect your heart. The Bible says to guard your heart with all diligence in Proverbs 3, because out of your heart flows the issues of life. Our life comes out of our heart. It says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, you know, you can check up on yourself even in faith. In your faith, we're supposed to watch our faith and take account of our own faith. But if you listen to your mouth talk, you'll know. You just start listening to yourself and you'll go, oops, that wasn't faith. There's fear and there's faith. And a lot of times fear is subtle. And the world is in fear. And we listen to so many people. And when we get together, that's a bad time. You get together with friends, and the beauty shop was worse because all these people wanted to talk about everything that happened, and you find yourself just, yeah, I know, isn't it bad, and the world is bad, and this is happening, and groceries are high, and gas is high. That's not faith. That's fear, and we get ourselves over in that real easy. You know, it may be high, but God provides our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And we've got to watch our thoughts and our words. Put a watch on my mouth, the Bible says. He asked God, put a watch on my mouth, because we're laying track when we speak things. I tell my grandson all the time, he'll say stuff, and I'm like, don't say that. I almost make him mad, but I hear him say things. I said, you're getting what you're saying, and you don't see it. And I've been praying, God, open his eyes, because he's getting what he's saying, and he's getting depressed, but he's getting more, saying more of what he's getting. And I've done that. I don't know if you've ever done that, but I've been in that rat race, and it's, you just, the more you say it, the more it is, and the worse it gets, and the heavier it is. So we just got to watch our mouth. But you can't do that in your own self. That's the Holy Spirit's job, and he'll help you. Now, that's the whole thing, is you can get into watching everything you say and be religious about it, but if you find that in the Word, Proverbs 3, 5, when it talks about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, or that's in Matthew, but to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. You see the Word, and you start putting that Word in you. The Word actually has a persuasion, like Pastor said. There's power in the Word of God. As you speak that Word, Father, put a watch over my mouth so that I'll speak your Word. You see that in the Word, and you speak it, you're actually causing that to happen in your life by speaking it, by agreeing with God's Word. So we want to agree with God's word, but you can't agree with something that you don't know. If you don't know the word of God, you can't. I could tell you anything. When I had the beauty shop, people come in there and told me stuff all the time that was in the Bible, that cleanliness is next to godliness. That's something they've said for 100 years, and that's probably what our moms told us. But it's not in the scriptures. It's not a scripture. But people will say things, and they actually, I used to give them a scripture, they'd say, "Where did you hear that?" I'm like, it's in your Bible. People do not read their Bibles. You know, I didn't read my Bible for years until I got saved, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and my goodness, I loved the word. I started looking, and I'd say, that said that? You find something that you didn't know. And once you get it, it's so exciting to find out that God wants to take care of you. God wants to provide for your needs. God wants to heal us. You know, when I found out he wants to heal us, that's his promise and his redemptive package, that healing is a part of it. And there's people all over, you know, sick. I'm going to give a testimony, and it's not to pat me on the back. It's the pat, give the Holy Spirit glory. But a couple weeks ago, I was driving the streets of Clay City. It's so big, and I know every building in town and every street in town, but I keep looking for a building for a church. There's a building somewhere. God's got a building. If it's going to have to be built, but whatever. But I was driving the streets and praying, Lord, we need the church. We need the building. Can you show me what to do? Show me where. Well, there's a building on the end of town that's a resale shop. She's got like 3 or 4 buildings there, and she's got all kinds of stuff. And she's real expensive. She wants to sell it and all this. But I felt to go in there, but she's already told Pastor Jennifer and Pastor Earl looked at it one time, but she wanted so much for it, and they just, it didn't seem right. But I kept sitting out in the parking lot across from there in the turnaround, where all the kids turn around. And I was praying in the spirit, and I thought, I knew I was supposed to go in. I didn't need anything, but I just went in. So I walked around and talked to her a little bit and told her I was still looking for the building for a church, you know. And, well, I don't know what she said. But anyway, I ended up buying something. But when I got to the counter, she was so bent over, her back hurt her so bad she couldn't hardly go. And that's why I was in there, and I didn't know it. And the Holy Spirit said, lay hands on her. And I thought, oh, okay. I'm not all that brave to do stuff like that. But I said, Sharon, do you mind if I lay hands on you and pray for your back? And she's like, oh, no, that's okay. Yeah, you can pray. I was baptized when I was a kid, and I went to church, and she started talking church stuff. So I just laid hands on her, took authority over the pain, prayed for whatever the root cause was, you know, and just prayed for her. And that was it. I left, bought my stuff and left, and I went into Dollar General yesterday. And when I went in to push my cart in, she was in front of me, and she turned around and seen me. Her face lit up like a light bulb. She's like, oh, I have to tell you, I have not had any pain. I don't have any pain in my back. And I mean, that was just glory to God. Glory to God, because I didn't want anything in there, but the Holy Spirit was leading, and he ministered to her, and she's out of pain. And the beauty of her face told me she really was out of pain. And she's like, I kept telling my brother what happened, and he said, you better get her address. And I said, well, we have a church. We're going to have a church there. So God will begin ministering to those people so that they can see we lay hands on the sick. You know, and it's not me, because I don't have any power to do anything. It's the Spirit of God, and that's what he told us. Go into the world, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. We have the hands, and he has the power. But if we don't lay the hand on them, you know, we work together. And he says that we're laborers together with God. We're laboring together with him. We're not he's not out here. You know, that's one thing I used to hear all the time in the beauty shop. Why would God do this? Why did God allow this? Why did God? Why did God? And I would give him John 10:10. Does anybody know what John 10:10 says? The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And I'd say, let's see, is that killing? Is it stealing? Is it destroying? Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So God, Jesus came to give us Zoe. It's called life. It's the Greek word Zoe, God kind of life. The God kind of life is what we're living here on the earth. In John 17, he prays a prayer. We can look at John 17. This is nothing in my notes. We'll get to my notes, but John 17, Jesus prayed, and I remember reading this and thinking, man, Jesus prayed for me. you go to church and the pastors pray for you, and that's pretty cool, but Jesus prayed for us a long time ago, and you just think, Jesus prayed for us, and it says that. He said, I prayed for them. Let's read John 17. Let me find it here. Verse 9. Let's read them up there and be better. Jesus, this is in red in my Bible, so it's Jesus talking. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Go on. Next. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Jesus is glorified in us. He's being glorified in us. When I laid hands on her, Jesus was being glorified. Okay, go to the next. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I am come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through your own name those whom you've given me, that they may be one as we are one, or we are. Okay, go to the next one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them is lost but the son of perdition, which Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. In 13. Now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. Keep going. I want to go to 21 and 22. Yeah, that's where I want to be. Verse 20 says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. He didn't just pray for the disciples. He's praying for those that will believe on their word. And that's us. We believe on God through the word that we have. Okay? That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I'm in them, that they will be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. So the world's going to believe that he came, that he was sent, because we're one with him. Because he's working in us and we're working with him, and they're going to see that. It says in verse 22, the glory which thou gavest them, or me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. The glory that God gave Jesus while he was here on earth, Jesus gave us that glory. And the glory is just his presence. The presence of God and the glory of God are the same. So the glory that God gave Jesus, Jesus said, I gave that to them. So when the lady, God was glorified, when healings take place, that glorifies God. When things are ministered out of the gifts of the Spirit, that brings glory to God. There was one scripture I was going to bring up, and I think it's Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, I think. You can find Habakkuk. Yeah, did you find it? Habakkuk 2:14. Yeah. I was praying the other night, and the scripture come to me, and when I was in there praying a while ago, it came back. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Look that up in the New Living Translation. So the glory that God gave Jesus turned around and gave us that glory so that he'd be glorified in the earth. And we carry the glory of God through his presence. For as the waters fill the sea, the earth will be filled with an awesome or an awareness of the glory of the Lord. So the glory of the Lord is going to be seen like the waters covering the sea, so vast. And we've seen in the last days, we've seen revivals taking place. Revivals are going to take place because in the last days, God's drawing people. He's drawing people to him. And there's people that are into drugs and alcohol and all kinds of habits and things because they need filled with God. They don't know what they're hunting. You know, we were there. We were all lost at one time and hungry, but didn't know what we could have, you know, until somebody brought it to us. When the lady brought salvation to me, she just hounded me to go to a Bible study and hounded me to go to Bible study, and I did not want to go to Bible study. I'd tell her, I have shorts on. Well, I was raised in a Pentecostal church, and you could not wear shorts. So I wore shorts. So I couldn't go to the Bible study, I thought. And she's like, I have shorts on. I'm like, oh, that didn't work. So the next week, I'd think of something else. And the next week, I finally just went in my shorts. And I went so she would leave me alone. And they were teaching Kenneth Hagin out of one of his books. And I didn't feel a thing. You know, that's a thing. You don't feel salvation always. But it's the Word of God. I had to start taking the Word of God for face value. So when you read in the Scriptures, you take it for what it says and receive it. And it doesn't matter if you feel like it. If it says, by His stripes you're healed, that's what it said. You know, so you take that in your heart, in your mouth, and you agree with God. And you start saying it, and you're putting it out there, and it becomes yours. As you say it and as you believe it, it says in Romans 10 that when you get saved, you believe in your heart and you say it with your mouth. Salvation is, it's, you're righteous because of what you say. You say it with your mouth. So we, you know, I went to work after I got saved, and this guy, I was waiting tables, and he's like, you're just different today. And they could see the glory of God. And it wasn't that I was different, but people can see the light. Pastor Earl says all the time down in Clay City, you are light, and people see light in you. You don't realize when people are around you, they're seeing light. You think you don't have anything, but the light of God is inside you. Jesus Christ lives inside us by the Spirit of God. And how can the Spirit of God walk around and people not know it? They may not know what it is, but they know the Spirit. They know something's different about you. You know, and a lot of times, even when you're out of town, you can meet someone or in a store. Your spirit will witness with their spirit that they're Christian, that they're a son or a child of God. You can tell. You'll just know. Are you a Christian? You know, you just know, and they know. So we've got more inside us than what we realize. And I, you know, I want to urge you to take what you have and be bold. And that the prayers to pray to open our mouth boldly, that we might speak as we ought in Ephesians 6. We need to open our mouth boldly, but pulling from the Holy Spirit, which is not out here, it's from inside out. You know, pulling from the Holy Spirit to say what we need to say. But he's ready to reach the world and reach the lost. I'm praying God send laborers. Send laborers to my family. There's some in my family that God needs to send some to. Usually it's not you. It's somebody else that will minister to them. So we can pray one for another and for each other's families. I don't know where all that came from because that's not anything what I was going to teach on. But we'll go get into that real quick, and we may go home early. Who knows? Okay, let's look over in Colossians 4, verse 2. I'm going to share this with you. And I'm like a shotgun, double-barreled shotgun, you know. It splatters everywhere sometimes, or those sawed-off shotgun. They just splatter. Colossians 4 and 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. The Amplified on that says, be persistent and devoted to prayer, being focused in your prayer life with an attitude of thanksgiving. The Common English Bible read, keep on praying and guard your prayers with thanksgiving. I like that one. Guard your prayers with thanksgiving. When I read this, it led me to Philippians 4, 6 through 8. We can pull that up in the Amplified Bible. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. He's saying, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. Be persistent. Be devoted to prayer. Keep on praying and guard your prayers with thanksgiving. Philippians 4, 6 through 8 says, do not be, let's go with the Amplified. Do not be anxious or worried about anything. Does anybody relate to that? But in everything, every circumstance, every situation, by prayer and petition, with what? Thanksgiving. So I thought, I'd never seen those two scriptures went together before. But in Colossians there, he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Here it says, don't worry about anything, don't be anxious, but in every circumstance, every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your request known to God. Okay, go on to 7. And when you do that, peace. The peace of God that passes, or the peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your heart. That's one way to guard your heart. It guards your heart and your minds in Christ. That peace is yours. So as we, when you have a worry and a care, and I used to be the biggest worrier you could ever imagine, I could worry better than anybody. I could go to bed and worry about everything. And worry so much, I'd worry that my kids would, something had happened to them in the night, I'd put them in my bed because I was worried something had happened if I wasn't there. So they'd sleep in my bed with me. Then I always wandered, you know, I worried a lot. And that's called, that the root of that was fear. But here he says not to worry about anything. Don't have anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, take that prayer request to God. And he says that to take it to him, but then have thanksgiving. And I was thinking about that. Thanksgiving is, that shows me I'm in faith. Because the Bible says over in John 5:14, it says that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, we can have the petitions or the things that we ask. So faith knows the will of God. And if you know the will of God and you're praying the will of God, you can be thankful. And if you ask for it, you know that you're getting what you ask for, if it's God's will. So we got to know what God's will is. And the only way to know God's will is knowing his word, because his word and his will are the same. There's no difference. You know, you can't, the word of God is God's will for your life. So the more of God's word you put in you, the more his will is going to start working in your life. You're going to see, you're going to walk that path. But you know that you're thankful when you receive something, right? When we receive an answer or if we receive a gift, thank you, thank you. So that's where our faith is shown, is in that thankfulness. When it says to pray and guard that prayer with thankfulness. And in Philippians 4 there, it says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. Once we've prayed something, and if we keep praying that same thing and keep praying that same thing and keep praying and keep asking and keep asking, you're not really being thankful. You're just keeping asking and asking and asking. But once you know you've prayed and you've received it, it says Mark 11:24 that we believe that we receive it, then we'll have it. If we believe we received it, we believe we receive it, then we will have it. So if you believe you receive it, you'll be thankful. So thanksgiving to God is allowing your faith to be activated in our life. When you thank you, Father, for healing me. I thank you that you healed my body. I thank you for supplying everything that I have need of. And your mind and the circumstances may tell you different. You may not have what you think you need, but in the Word, and you get in the Word and you find that it's yours. Thank you, Father. Thank you. It's mine. I thank you that it's mine. You can just rejoice in the fact that God heard you. And then as you're thankful, it's going to come. It's going to come. You're just going to walk into that will. But I hope that's all clear to you. It was clear to me. Okay, finally, brethren, it says in verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is confirmed by God's word. If you need finances, if it's confirmed by God's word, if you needed healing, if it's confirmed by God's word, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and good, repute, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, anything that's worthy of praise, think continually on those things. Center your mind on them. Implant them in your heart. That's the way to get the word in your heart, meditating that word, taking God's word, the good report of God's word, and agreeing with it. How did it say it up there? Whatever is right and confirmed by God's word. Whatever is confirmed. So we can confirm the situations that we pray for and the things that are happening in our life. If we take them to God, like he said, don't be anxious, don't be worried, take it to God. Confirm it with his word, confirm whatever it is with his word, then we can have we can be thankful. We can be thankful that it's ours. We can praise him for it. And praise stills the enemy and the avenger. When we get into praise over something, the enemy, it confuses him. When he's bringing everything at you that he can bring at you, and you're standing there saying, hallelujah, God supplies all of my needs, hallelujah, I'm healed by the power of Jesus Christ, by his stripes, I'm healed. The enemy doesn't understand why, and it's confusing. He'll leave because he's not going to stay. That's the one way to resist him. It says resist the devil and he'll flee. He leaves when we praise. He doesn't stay around praising Christians, you know. Now, complaining Christians, he'll stay. And I can complain the best, just as anybody else, if I don't watch myself, especially when you get two or three people together and one starts. You got to watch complainers. Pastor Jesse used to say the complainers or the gripers get the vipers. The gripers get the vipers. So we got to watch ourselves, especially in this day and age, not to complain. you know, not to complain about things, but praise God for all he's doing in our life. And that draws people. When I first started coming up here to church, I went to a church where there was a lot of complainers. A lot of people in church are complainers. And I love the church. I love the people. But when I first started coming up here, Pastor Jesse and Judy, her sister, they were the most joyful two people I ever laid eyes on. I mean, it drew me to be around somebody that had joy and never complained about anything. I mean, they were just always bubbly, always thankful, you know, and that pulled me in so much that I wanted to be around it. And it helped me to make my decision on changing churches, because I'd went to a church all my life. So it's not something you just quit, you know. But God was bringing me to a watering hole where I could be fed. And it was just, you know, God will pull people to you when you walk out and you're happy or you show a smile. I've been around people. Some people would not smile if you handed them $1 million. They would just be miserable anyway. But if we just smile at somebody, it makes a difference. It makes a difference in their life. I've seen at work when I've seen somebody walk toward me, and I'll just say hi and smile, and their face just changes, and they'll smile back. So you can give God even just with a smile, or give God just with a nice word. You know, I like your hair. I really like this, you know, and that builds people up. So I don't know how super spiritual this was or anything about it, but, you know, I just know God will meet our needs, and we have to agree with his word. He'll confirm his word with signs following. So as we put his word in our heart and all the worries and the cares and everything that's going on in the world, we're just going to have to keep our focus on the word of God, and not just the letter, you know, the prayers with thanksgiving. And prayer, that's one thing I want to say. Prayer is so much fun, and prayer is not hard. And that's not something you just want to think, oh, I have to pray. Prayer is talking to each other, talking to God and listening. You know, I think it was Rick Renner was saying how he gets up in the morning and he doesn't even talk. He'll just sit. Sit in the presence of God. Just sit there. And you can hear God talk if you just get up and get quiet and just sit in his presence, you know, especially if you just have the word of God by you, and or you've been listening to it. He'll start bringing scriptures to you, telling you go into places, you know, go into that building. You know, I didn't know when I went into that building I was going to pray for anyone, but he will lead us as we quiet ourselves and quiet our minds. So anyway, I'm going to dismiss us in prayer and thank you, Father. Lord, I just thank you for this night. I thank you for your word that it's alive. And I thank you, Father, that as I spoke the word, that it'll fall into hearts that will take your word and make it ours. And I just praise you, Lord, for a safe trip home for each of us. And Lord, I just thank you for pastors, that you fill them up this week. Fill them up with the word of God and with your spirit. So when they come back, they'll have vision and be renewed and refreshed. So we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.